it's just about, it comes back to execution and doing our jobs well.
That was Ben Cherington a little while ago on MLB Network with Brian Kenny, who I like, talking about how the trade deadline and making moves between now and the deadline, it sounds to me like he's saying we almost owe it to the fans because of all the misery, all the agony, everything they've been through. We're right there. We're in the mix. We've won 6-10. We just beat the Reds twice. We've got this great pitching. Yeah, I understand our situation. It's actually that quote that we just played, that soundbite, Chris. It's not all that different from what Bob Nutting said on Friday.
Feels like
singing
a little
out
bit
of the same hymnal.
It feels
here.
Like a little bit of a message delivered, perhaps, by the owner to have Ben Cherington saying that after having been a pretty much a trust the process guy. I hope the first part of that clip weighs heavier with him than the second part. I hope the first part carries more weight. Every season is precious in the big leagues. The underlying sentiment there is we don't know if these pitchers will, A, be this good next year, all three of them or four of them.
Yep.
We especially don't know if they will be healthy all through next year like they so far have been. I hope, I don't know about you, but my initial reaction is better to hear this sentiment from him, but I still hope the first part outweighs the second because I've had a different approach. I've had a change of heart in the last several years. From thinking, yeah, why can't the Pirates be the Rays and sustain this almost indefinitely, it seems like, and just be the guys that are always a step ahead to, if you've got a shot to do it, take it. I remember this. I would apologize for this retroactively. In 13, 14, and 15, I'd say, oh, no, hold on to some of those big-name prospects. Let's keep this pipeline rolling. Not anymore. You think you can win it this year? F it. Do what you got to do.
F it.
Do what you got to do.
I have more from Cherington. He was on about an hour ago, and we have pulled those comments from MLB Network, and we will get to all of them later in the show. Donnie is here. Donnie has another double dip. So is Sonny Gray, resplendent in his Marc-Andre Fleury Blackhawks jersey. Was the Mike Piazza Marlins jersey unavailable today? Was the Reggie Jackson Orioles jersey?
I'll tell
at
you
the dry cleaners.
I'll tell
the
you
Fleury
what.
Fleury Blackhawks
if
jersey.
If he showed up,
what a pull!
If he showed up in a Piazza Marlins jersey, I think that would be an all-time.
That
maneuver.
Would bring the house down.
That would be the one right there. He's a jerseys
the
guy.
Pavel Datsyuk,
Phoenix
Coyotes.
Yeah, the Coyotes jersey.
Yeah,
played exactly zero games
when
for
they
them.
They were just laundering contracts for teams. Now the Utah Hockey Club,
which is what it should stay, by the way. Utah HC, be different.
I have, I think, something that you guys will like here to start the show. Because I heard, this was inspired by stuff I heard earlier on. Doran brought it up when he was by himself. I was driving to the gym. The gym, by the way, was a disaster today. I thought I was going to die. There was a moment when I was there where I thought I was going to have to call you guys when I was at my personal trainer and say,
guys, I'm dying.
Remember that one time you came in after working out at the gym here and said I made myself sick?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Remember that day?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because you pushed yourself too hard?
Yeah, that I didn't like eat something beforehand or whatever, and I just didn't feel good all of a sudden.
So listen to what we had to do today, or what I had to do.
Okay.
As many burpees as you can do in 60 seconds.
I just want to stop you right off the jump. I knew.
Sonny, do you know what a burpee is?
I knew burpees. Donnie, did you know burpees were going to be involved? Was your gut telling you burpees were going to be a factor here?
I had a pretty good feeling because those are always like the kiss of death.
Do as many burpees as you can in 60 seconds.
Well, I bet you got to... 10? Maybe 10?
I think more than that, but maybe not many more.
That's going on. So you're going down, kick out,
yeah.
Come in, up, down, kick out, come in, up.
10-second pause. Oof.
Okay.
Then take like a 15-pound ball over your head, smash it down to the ground, pick it back up.
Keep doing as many medicine ball slams as you can
for
in 60
seconds.
Oh, boy, I'm starting to hate
10
this.
10-second break, and then get on the bike and do a bike sprint for 60 seconds.
Oh, you know who actually would respect this and like this is Dunlap. That's like the stuff they do. That's like a sort
but
of
I
a CrossFit.
I thought he picked up tires and threw them.
Well, they do, but like I'm talking about those 60-second timed things, like doing burpees and doing medicine ball slams and doing stuff like the bike. That's...
I threw up in my mouth and swallowed it. I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but I didn't want to pull a Hunter Green there and just barf all over the place.
Was it a lot of vomit?
No, it was like a spit up. It
like
was like a baby spit up.
Every time I read about an athlete having worked themselves to the point of vomiting, like Andre Agassi used to apparently vomit daily. He would run the hills like near Vegas
was
or whatever.
Was it therapeutic vomiting like Aaron
no,
Rodgers?
No, he would just work himself so hard that he would puke. And I always think, man, those guys are just, and women, are made of different stuff. Because If I got near the point of vomiting, I think I'd be like, you know what? I'm done.
So I was driving there and I heard Dorn and then I heard Starkey talking about this too. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I have good news and bad news. I think I started with this yesterday.
You did. You did the good news, bad news.
I've got good
yesterday.
News, bad news again. I've got glass half full, glass half empty on this. Good news is, I guess depending on your perspective, the good news is I heard that Charrington thinks that if he is going to do one of these all-in Chris Archer-type trades, the guy he wants to do it for is Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of these, again, underlying numbers things and analytics things. Pull up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He has fewer home runs than Andrew McCutchen this year.
And he's on a tear, by the way. He's hit three in his last five games.
Oh, has he? I didn't know
yes,
that part.
He had seven until a week ago.
But, okay, so he's not having his typical huge power season. He's only, I think, 25 years old, by the way.
Correct.
But just not having a great season, but apparently all the underlying metrics still say he's hitting the ball harder than anybody in baseball.
He does hit the absolute snot out of it when he hits it.
Yep. And they know that, and they love that. They think you hit the ball hard, you're going to get rewarded for it more often than not.
Okay? To a large degree, especially with tenured and, players, that's true.
And think about this, too. This is what I was told. Where was Charrington before he was in
Toronto?
That was Pittsburgh.
He was Toronto.
So that was his pit stop after he left the Red Sox. He was working for them.
You mentioned this off the air when we were getting the show ready. You brought this up. You said, I think we should lead with this and everything. And that was the first thought I had. There's Charrington familiarity there. That was his little stop.
And now MLB Network has Tamar Johnson, Anthony Solometto, Quinn Priester, Lonnie White for Luis Robert Jr. is what
I'd
they're
still,
talking
by
about.
By the way, I'd do that deal.
All right. Anyways. Yeah, Donnie, maybe you Guerrero can go back and pull this clip.
You know
eventually.
What? Guerrero gets people pumped, though, if they were to do that, even more than Luis Robert Jr., because Guerrero's a name.
Yes, I don't know who Luis Robert Sr. is. I know who Vladimir Guerrero Sr. is. He's in Cooperstown.
He's a guy who would hit baseballs that bounced in the dirt for base hits.
I saw him do that at a game in Montreal once.
I mean, in Guerrero Jr.'s case,
you could get
case,
hot dogs for loonies. That was the deal, because it's like they don't have dollars there. They have the
for
coins.
For loonies, yeah.
Or were they loonies are ones and toonies are two?
You would know. You grew up in,
I forget.
You worked in Buffalo.
Anyways.
Here's the thing about him, though. He's got fewer home runs than McCutchen. But by every metric, the guy is a very above-average offensive player still.
All right.
You gotta look at numbers differently this year because basically everyone sucks at hitting.
Okay, so that's number one, is that if there's someone, if there's, you know, of all these big whales, Moby Dick-type trades, that's the guy that
call me Vladimir
Charrington likes the most. Here's the downside of it. Here's the other end of it. Now, you just mentioned Buffalo. I still have relationships with a couple of people who either work for the Blue Jays or are tangentially connected to them. Both of them said the same exact thing to me. And then the same person I talked to yesterday about the Marlins hypothetical trade said, that sounds right. The Toronto people said they if they do get to a point where they're going to trade him, and they're not there yet,
mm-hmm.
but when they get to that point, they want a Juan Soto package back. They want what the Nationals got from San Diego for Soto.
Which was
Soto.
Basically half the organization.
I think so.
Juan Soto's trade, I'll read it up here. I got it for you. Traded by the Nationals with Josh Bell to the Padres for Robert Hassel III.
How is he doing these days, Rob?
Big Rob Hassel. Big Bob Hassel.
Bob Hassel III.
Bob Hassel's 22 years old in double-A ball.
Okay.
All right.
Bob Hassel.
Yarlene Susanna. Yarlene Susanna is 20 years old.
Is that related to the thing that we would do in church
in
where
Able.
They go, Hosanna? Or was that? Right? Did you guys do that?
Yeah, it's called Hosanna. Yes. It's like in the Catholic Church. How do you get Hosanna from Susanna?
It does not sound
Susanna,
like this guy
Hosanna.
Is in the highest either.
No, he's not. James Wood. Also in the minors.
How's Jimmy Wood doing?
Big Jim Wood. He's 6'7". My God.
He is Big Jim Wood.
This guy looks like a stud, actually, in all seriousness. He's only 21. He's in AAA. You ready for this? Dude is hitting .352 this year with a 1,052 OPS.
What position does he play? Do we know?
At 6'7", 234, he is a all-positions outfield guy.
Okay.
All three. Okay. Then the other three. That was just the first three. The guys
There's
who have
six guys.
CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, and Luke Voit.
Okay, so Voit flamed out, but Abrams is a really good shortstop.
Abrams would be overall the best offensive player on the Pirates right now, slightly ahead of Reynolds.
And Gore is the Nationals ace.
So that's a lot. That is a big, big return.
Now, Bell got stapled onto that deal too, but so
still,
I don't think it would take
really
six guys, but that is a massive deal.
Can they throw in Biggio's kid or whoever it is, or Bichette's kid?
Biggio's kid already got traded.
That's right.
To the Dodgers.
Isn't Bichette's kid still there?
But Bichette's kid's still there.
Whoa! Heyo.
And then the last part of this is, and no one knows this part, right? Guerrero has another year left after this. It's arbitration. He's already making $19 million in arbitration. It's going to go up close to $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Are they willing to pay someone? That would be, even if their payroll goes up to 100, that's 25%
of their payroll.
Of your payroll.
And you're also saying, by even floating, would they be willing to do that? Is this, even if they are, he's here for this year and next, or part of next, because he ain't signing here long term, is he?
No.
So he's a rental.
And a half.
But really, like, you
it's
might
a long term.
You
rental.
Might be getting the equivalent of one season. Because what would preclude them from?
I don't want to think about them being out of the mix.
Or what if they flipped him when they were in the mix and they felt like they could actually flip him for pitching or something?
Then we riot.
Like that.
I guess would be the answer to that.
Do you want to know my? You give me the glass half full and get me. Ooh, this is interesting. And then I think about glass half empty. Neil Huntington did the Archer deal, not Ben Cherington. The Archer deal is the biggest trade they've swung in my adult lifetime, and it blew up in their faces ultimately. I do have like this nervousness about me that if they traded for this guy, they'd give up a lot and he would be merely an average player for them. It would make me uneasy. Even though it's a different guy executing the trade, it would make me uneasy. And Toronto doesn't have the reputation the Rays have had for a long time of don't trade with them because they're trading what they know to be garbage at that point for what they know to be the players they've identified with you. They don't have that rep, but it would still make me nervous. If the deal is like Bubba Chandler, Solometto, Tamar Johnson, because that really is like the minors equivalent, I think, of some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to toss in, you know, give me like two more guys. So it's maybe 1 for 4 or 1 for 5, but 3 of the 4 are big names. Would you do it? Guerrero for here. I'll give you the framework. Guerrero for Tamar Johnson, Solometto, Bubba Chandler, and pick a fourth guy who's like, you know, just a lottery ticket, like an A-ball guy who maybe isn't even close to the bigs and might never
get there. Maybe the guy that the Pirates got back in the Brubaker deal, that teenage infielder that was like considered one of the Yankees' better prospects, but not a stud.
I can't even remember his name already.
Delgado?
Sure.
Not Carlos or Randall, but yeah, a Delgado.
Okay, your four. Would you do it?
I would.
Assume it. I'll also make it easier.
Yeah, I'll answer it. I would.
Okay.
But, and I think Ben, if left to his own devices, might get to a point where he would want to make that trade too.
But he knows that it's a, as you put it, a longer term rental. And he, in the second half of that clip that we played to open the show.
And does he have permission to give, hey, Bob, like, he's going to be a $25 million player next year.
We need to, for this to be worthwhile, we need to have him on the club next year too. Because you figure that what props your window open next year because your offense
and
has
and if you keep a $25 million guy on your roster, do you have to pay Peter to...
Rob Peter to pay Paul?
Yep, and you have to shed other guys for next year to keep that.
I said Bob had done some work, I think, helping his image with people by like basically acknowledging that they sucked at hitting and needed to do something. If the answer to that question internally is pay the man next year, we'll pay him his arbitration, and especially if I see results this year, we're going to go for it to a degree financially we've never gone for it before, you have him for at least 1 year erasing another criticism of him.
Hockey Talk, special guest for that segment. We made waves yesterday with Tyler Kennedy talking about Jacob Trouba coming to the Penguins potentially, and also... a bold move, a trade of Evgeny Malkin or Erik Karlsson is what TK floated out there. My computer is doing the restarting thing where it's just an endless circle that spins back and forth. So hopefully we can get that fixed before this segment ends so we can get to some of your calls. Did you see Donnie went viral? Like, big time viral.
Betting viral? The betting thing?
Millions of impressions on social media.
Was it the betting thing?
I think this is the second. Yes, it's the second time Donnie went viral for his devastating Wings comment.
With the college sweatshirt. You were just, you were
the price of Wings were devastating.
The true poster boy for a devastating increase in Wings.
I think this is his next biggest thing.
It's a good one, too. He deserves it.
Donnie, why don't you tell the people what we're talking about here? Why you have gone international on social media.
So there was a post put out the other night. It was Pony's people over at FanDuel. They put out a bet slip that was halfway done. It was a four-leg parlay that was all like championship winners. It was UConn to win the men's basketball championship. It was the Florida Panthers to win the Stanley Cup.
Done.
And then the final two legs actually involve two of our teams here. The Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers and the World Series champion Pittsburgh Pirates. This was a $1 bet to win over $1 million.
The Pirates being a plus 20,000 goose right there.
And the cash out for whoever this was, they didn't put the name, was only $11.29.
What the hell was that noise I just heard?
That's my computer restarting. It lets out a little fart when it's like ready to start
up. It sounded like it was Laser Storm or something like that.
The cash out was only $11.29. Some people in the comments kind of wondered like, oh man, that's not much of a cash out. But my advice was just take that $11.29 and go decide between a bowl or burrito at Chipotle. And people loved it. I've actually thought I've had much better work that doesn't go nearly.
Oh, some of
give
my
me
most
nearly the numbers I expect.
My most this viral one, tweets are always the ones I'm not impressed by. That I'm like, I'm just sending
and the
this
world
out.
Was not impressed by your gumbo, and that went off the charts. The entire state of Louisiana grabbed it and made
Ryan Clark, Stan Verrett. I think Emerald.
Stan Verrett. I didn't know that one.
Stan Verrett went after me. Clark, Louis Lips, Jamel Hill, the whole state of Louisiana, Emerald. It was bad.
I think the guy's got to ride it out longer. He's got to see how the Pirates season goes.
Dude, that's the funny part. I loved your tweet. Where you, I think you literally said, buddy, I would take that $11.29 and decide if I wanted a burrito or a bowl.
What
which
would
is
you
perfect.
Pick between the two?
Bowl all day.
I'm a bowl guy now.
Bowl for sure.
You're a bowl guy now because of the
no,
carbs?
I was.
There's a messiness factor,
too. That, too. Yeah, sometimes it's tough. Those burritos, they get loaded up. I mean, it's like a small child.
Now, if we're talking about the place I think we're talking about, I haven't seen a lot of loading going on there
no.
lately.
They've been deloading. They've been load management here at that place.
I haven't seen a lot of loading.
Load management for sure.
Sarah offloading. And I got lucky. We went to this place the other night, and we just had somebody who did not give a rip, and she was loading those babies up.
Can you tip the people who are doing that there?
No,
I would probably tip for that.
I think they do have a little jar.
I'd throw a couple bucks in the jar.
See, I've been told they don't want that for exactly what you're talking about.
So people will be motivated to just, you know.
Yeah, because they'll work outside the system if they know a big tip's coming.
The system sucks because they've admitted that they're giving smaller portions. They've tried to deny it forever, but everyone knows it's true.
Well, then they haven't admitted it yet if they're still denying it.
The system, I think they might have finally like said yes, the portions have gotten a little bit smaller. It's just corporate malfeasance. They're jacking up the prices and giving you less for more.
But I think they said that they lowered the portions because they felt like people were getting too fat, maybe.
Oh, give me a break. They don't care if their customers are getting too fat.
They dropped the supersize at McDonald's.
Well, that was, I think, like literally for health reasons. This particular place comments about how they don't have freezers on the premises because everything's so fresh and healthy. Plus, no one's made a documentary about them yet. Maybe we should. I'll tell you what, though. The burrito slaps there if you can get it unwrapped correctly in the foil and you actually, you know, you're like eating it while it's still tightly put together.
Mm-hmm.
But if that thing starts to fall apart, so does your day.
I wish I could eat a burrito every day of my life.
Every day?
Yeah, I think I would if I could.
You think
you could
eat
a burrito for... No, I don't think I would. They're just so good.
If I could eat poke...
There's also just so many calories. Like, when you see it wrapped up, when it looks like a football, and it's like, I'm going to put this entire thing
in my
body.
This will be in my stomach in 20 minutes. It'll be walking around with me like that little, like a cartoon picture of what's inside his belly, and it's just that guy. I would do that with poke, which is half the guilt. There's not nearly as many carbs in the poke bowl. Donnie, you have not had a... There's no way. No way you've had a poke bowl. Pony, you have to.
I have. If the Pirates were to win the World Series, then all of a sudden that guy's probably looking at $100,000 cash out.
I was going to say, I think you ride it out in a practical sense. My advice to that guy would be, the closer the Pirates, the longer the Pirates stay in the playoff chase, the higher that cash out number gets. And if they actually get to the playoffs, if I were that guy, I'd almost want to see it keep going because they'll be dangerous. Their pitching will make them dangerous.
Don, what did he get the Pirates odds at to win the World Series when he made that bet?
It's plus 20,000.
Yeah, that's what
200
it was.
To one shot. They are the reason that that bet is a dollar to win a million.
Right now,
Steelers are 75-1 on that.
Right now, the Pirates are plus 310 to win the World Series. Their odds have actually gotten worse.
How?
Are plus 31,000.
No, they, yeah, they're
a dollar on the Pirates
wait,
to win
3,100 or 31,000.
31,000.
How are they got? How a dollar, have they gotten worse?
A dollar bet on the Pirates wins you $310. I might have to make something like that.
I don't know then why the cash out for him would have gotten would have actually started to go up because their odds are worse than when he placed the bet.
But it's because the first two legs have already hit. That's why.
Yeah, I understand that, but still.
If you made a $50 bet on the Pirates to win the World Series and it came through, you'd win $15,500.
Something you're about to do right now.
A $100 bet wins you $31,000.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the celebrity this guy will be if he just lets it ride out? He ignores Donnie's advice. The Pirates, first of all, the city of Pittsburgh would be burning with delirious
joy. I'm going to make a $500 bet on them to win the World Series.
Because
it wins $155,000. That's going to make my year. That's going to make my nut, as they say, if that happens.
You'll be eating a lot of burritos on that. Now, how much of that money would you tell Amanda about?
She won't care about $500. What do you think she's spending $500
on? If you win the $150,000, are you be like, honey, I won $150,000, or does that go right into the pony slush fund?
No, she'd find out about it because I wouldn't be able to contain my exuberance. Here is Phil on the fan. Hello, Phil.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Phil, you think I should make that bet?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
No, I was calling because the Vlad Guerrero thing.
Yeah, what do you want to say about it?
Well, I would love for them to do it, but I don't think this is the year. I mean, I checked Skeens, his numbers there. He's already up to like 46 innings, I think. I think they're going to shut him and Jones down before the end of the season. It's just this year isn't the year.
So when is the year then? Next year, 2 years, year. 5 years? They keep telling us, you know, someday, maybe next year. When? Next
year? What I'm saying, next year.
But you have him next year if you make that trade.
He'll be able to finish the season.
But you have Guerrero on the team next year if you make the trade now. He might not be available. He's going to get traded to somebody else if you don't make the trade now.
The Yankees are already talking about how they should go get him. The Mets might even try to do something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if he's available for next year, then it's worth it, then, I guess.
Do you, Pony, believe what Phil's saying, that he thinks this is going to be shut down?
Well, I brought this. Thanks, Phil. We'll give you the third eye blind tickets.
Wow. Good thing I hit the drop button by accident there, and you must have locked him in right at the last second.
I brought this up to Zangrilli one day when you guys left to the Awaken thing the other day. And I said to him, if they went deep into the playoffs, even with this thing where they're giving guys a day off here and there, like Jones in Atlanta, they're going to go way over 150 innings, you'd think.
They will.
And if, like, I would say at that point, it's worth it because you're
pitching for a chance to win it all.
Yep. But I'm not sure they would look at it that way.
Well, Charrington said, we're trying to build a contender for the long haul, and staying pretty strident with their innings or pitch counts.
It is just
really
so hard in life to have your cake and eat it too.
Who do you think actually has had that recently in sports? In
the
baseball,
Chiefs,
especially. Well,
here's why the Chiefs did, because they traded Tyreek Hill thinking, well, we're not going to take like a major step back, but we've got to kind of pivot and maybe have not a rebuilding year, but a year where we don't have great wide receivers because we've got to get our cap straight and everything. And they have won back-to-back Super Bowls. So they're a cake and eat it too.
Also, Mahomes
for sure.
Just signed actually to a comically team-friendly deal now.
Hockey talk time. NHL awards tonight, the draft tomorrow, free agency on Saturday. Tyler Kennedy mixing it up with us, talking about cashiers at McDonald's smoking cigarettes while handing out Happy Meals. Down on the waterfront, talking about Eric Goddard being the best person he ever met at taking a punch to the face. Tyler has not met me yet. So I think I can give Goddard a run for his money.
His whole thing was he would just keep going. The punches you took to the face typically knocked you unconscious. I don't know if that makes you good at it.
Well, how about the day I got punched in the black eye and then went out the next night at Syracuse and got hit in the same black eye?
How bad did the second one hurt?
Excruciating.
I had to be some of the worst pain of your life.
That was right up there with when the aluminum bat hit me in the penis. Yep.
Did you think the person targeted the black eye? Like, oh,
no,
this
it was an accident. I was actually going into that as a peacemaker.
And you got caught?
Mm-hmm.
That'll teach you to try to be a peacemaker, I suppose.
Well, that's why the NHL legislated the third man in?
Yeah. Not the instigator.
Well, there's not the instigator. You can't come in into
a fight trying to make it a two-on-one, a handicap match. It is a miracle that you didn't suffer more permanent damage from one of these many punches to the face you absorbed.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's where we find Sean Gentile of The Athletic. Hello, Sean.
Andrew, how many times did it take for you to get punched in the face to reevaluate maybe the way you were approaching these various situations?
Well, I'm on a great run. Great run right now of not getting punched in the face. It's actually the longest active streak of my life. It's the Brian Reynolds streak of not getting punched in the face.
I was going to say, Sean, in terms of him actually reevaluating the things that led him to getting punched in the face, I don't really think it ever happened. Like, I just kind of think he aged out of getting punched in the face.
We all do in one way or another. I don't think I've been in I'm trying to think of the last time I was in an actual fight. I was probably like 22 or 23.
I mean, has Zeiss ever aged out of that point in his life? You said he walked into the RV at the marathon event and said, you ever just want to walk into a bar and start punching people in the face?
And clean the place out? Yeah, he just said, like, you know, there's something to be said for going into a place and running your mouth and then getting into a huge brawl and then wiping the floor with it.
He literally said that 2 weeks ago, and Paul's almost 60. So he has not aged out of that yet.
That's true. Well, there are unicorns among us. Tom Brady played until his mid-40s. Paul will fight until his 60s.
Sean, are you in Vegas yet for the awards and draft?
Literally just checked into my room. I'm on the 25th floor of lovely Paris, Las Vegas.
Let's go.
Staring. Dude, we...
Mon ami Gabi for breakfast, bro. That's actually one of my favorite spots with Alex out there.
I think that may have already been booked. Like, I have a bunch of coworkers here.
Mm-hmm.
They're sports writers, right? So they're Marriott freaks who most scenarios would rather stay at some very average Westin and collect the points and just move on with their lives. Me among that group most of the time. But this time, man, there were a bunch of us who were just like, screw it. Paris, whatever. Let's stay at one of the real dumb ones, and here we are.
How was the airport security line?
Great question, Chris. It's almost like you knew to ask it based on a conversation we had earlier. It was brutal. I think the main line stretched out almost to the end of the people movers.
Here or in Vegas?
How would he have known what the Vegas security
line's
point.
Like?
Yeah, it was true. Out, Sean, when I went to Myrtle Beach, I was towards the beginning of the people mover when I got on, and then I jumped out into the alternate checkpoint, which they were doing a very bad job of directing people to. There were people...
Oh, this is a recent development.
There were
heard
people,
about this.
Swear to God, who were well off the people mover and outside into the parking lot.
Now, is this
lot.
For the TSA pre-check as well?
No, they were still moving decently.
Good, good.
Well, congratulations on all your success.
I've gotten burned by the alt checkpoint before, so I'm a little hesitant to do it. But there was enough going on there, man, where I was like, I was there at 5 o'clock for a 7:15 flight, which is, I have never been to any airport that early in my entire life.
Congratulations on all your success.
Got to pull the trigger. It's not always.
One more word to the wise, problems. Be very careful with Treasure's Gentleman's Club. When I went there, they lied to me and said, hey, when it shows up on your credit card, it's a steakhouse, so do whatever you want. And so I did whatever I wanted, and then we got the bill, and my wife saw that there was like a $2,500 night that was spent.
It was a very expensive steak.
No, but it actually showed up as Treasures, which made it even worse.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say be careful at Treasures because you'll get punched in the face like I did.
No.
That was actually the last punch in the face was when you got home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last time you've been punched in your eye.
Sean, we had, before we get to what Tyler Kennedy said, I was going to read the salary cap thing, but then I got busy today. So what is the Penguins salary cap situation that you wrote about? Is it good, bad, ugly?
It's fine. Could be better. Could be worse. They don't have a lot of RFA raises to worry about, which is, you know, I don't want to say nice, because if you're giving money to RFAs, that typically means that you've got actual young players that are performing above their potential. So I'm sure, like, you know, on one side of the coin, you wouldn't mind having some of that, but, you know, that's not the situation they're in. So the available space they have, they can, you know, focus on signing free agents or adding money in trade. It's about $10 million, which is, you know, it seems like a little bit more than it is probably the best way to put it, because, you know, there's a lot of different spots to improve. I don't think they have any glaring holes generally, but also something's got to be done, because it's a team that's missed the playoffs the last two years. You got to do something different. And I think to an extent they have enough money to make that happen, and it certainly seems like they're looking at adding more.
How motivated do you think Dubas is to subtract in the form of possibly trading Tristan Jarry? I think Elliot Friedman floated it out there that Jarry's still somebody that could get moved, in his opinion.
Oh, it was a big-time float.
A lot of floating. I mean, that was a Macy's Parade Day float.
Friedman floated it. Rossi just double floated it. I mean,
a double float.
Do you like to triple float it? You usually can't triple float a double float.
We all know you can't triple float a double float. See, that's a great rule of thumb. So I'm not going to do that. But I think it became clear that this is something they were going to seriously explore as soon as they signed Nedeljkovic. Right. I'm not surprised that they brought him back. We can debate the merits of him as a goaltender, you know, if you want. But he's someone they like. Got him back if they were serious, and they also like Joe Blomqvist enough to at least give him, you know, a chance to make a run here. So yeah, I think the extension was the signal, and now, you know, as we're 24 hours away from the draft, you know, really the draft weekend really starting to kick off, I think it's clear that, you know, they're very seriously pursuing some stuff.
Who are the potential Jarry takers? Who are the dance partners?
It's a good question, because we kind of had to reassess the goaltender market here because of stuff that's happened over the last week. Like, we've seen Darcy Kemper end up on the Los Angeles Kings. The Kings were in dire straits, really, really badly needed a goaltender. Ottawa trades for Linus Ullmark from Boston. That's another one. Like, that was a huge, huge hole, you know, in a way that you don't see from most teams. And then New Jersey was the other one, right? Those are the three big contending teams that can win, you know, actual playoff series now, I would say, that also coincidentally didn't have goaltenders, and they went out and added them. So we'll see. I don't know. I think there could be some surprising teams out there, but I don't know how many of them can get significantly better with Tristan Jarry. That's the problem, right? There's teams out there that are looking to improve in one way or another, but they're also going to be asking the question, like, is it worth bringing this dude on when he's got four more years at, you know, five and a half or whatever it is. That's a lot of money to play for a goaltender that I think we can say pretty definitively is, you know, not anywhere near the elite category. And it'll be interesting.
Sean, one of the things we like about when we talk to TK is we ask him for bold opinions or predictions sometimes, and instead of going, it'll just get blasted out there on social media, I'll get killed for it, he just fires a couple of them at us every time, reliably. So, bold offseason move. We asked him something bold, a trade that was going to happen. He said, either Carlson or Malkin gets traded, which I love that he puts it out there. Feasibility level for either one of those things or a similarly large deal by the Penguins happening.
I can't see a world where Malkin gets moved. He's paid like a pretty good second line center at this point, which coincidentally, that's what he is, right? So if you move out of Evgeny Malkin, you're going to have to add someone to replace Evgeny Malkin. And realistically, there aren't guys like that out there for, you know, the amount of money that he makes. And also they have no real depth behind him. Like, we love Lars Eller, right? Everyone looks at him and says he's a great defensive player, and that's true. But if you're coming into a season, you know, staring down the barrel of Lars Eller as your number two center, like, you're in big, big trouble. You can get away with him as a three, but as a two, you don't really have a shot. And I think, you know, unless they know for sure that there's going to be a guy that they can bring in at a cost level and a productivity level that can meet Malkin's, I really, really don't see that happening.
Tyler was on one yesterday and also brought up the fact that he thinks that the Penguins should and will pursue Trouba now that he's on the trade block. Do you agree with that?
Jacob Trouba makes $8 million a year, man.
So they'd have to eat significant money. And then there's the matter of, do you want a guy on your face that wanted to decapitate Sidney Crosby in a playoff game a couple of years ago?
That sort of stuff gets resolved pretty easily. I would be less concerned about that than the fact that
How about employing somebody that wants to take people's heads off?
I mean, as if the Penguins haven't done that.
Cook,
times.
Matthew.
Yes.
That's fine. They're not above that. It's easy to get mad about that stuff when you coincidentally don't have any players on your team that play that way, right? So,
do you think they need someone like that?
I don't think they need Jacob Trouba because he's, you know, a break even third pair defenseman who makes $8 million a year.
There you go.
And if the New York Rangers get rid of him, even theoretically, they're not going to want to eat that much salary on him. And they're probably not going to want to send him to a divisional team either. Do I think that Trouba's on the block? Absolutely. The Rangers need to make big changes. They don't have a ton of money left over to do it, but I don't really see the fit between New York and Pittsburgh either.
What do you think then is going to be? So Dubas has about $10 million to play with, probably not on Trouba, you just said. Can envision Malkin getting dealt. Where do you think Kyle Dubas most wants to spend the money he does have to shore them up? What specific deal would he make first, or what position would he address first?
I think Jeff Skinner could be getting bought out as we speak by the Buffalo Sabres. So they're going to owe him a $9 million cap hit for the next couple seasons. Buffalo is going to buy him out. I think it's possible that he moves to a contender for, you know, well below market price. Think of what Matt Duchene did last season with the Dallas Stars. Gets bought out by Nashville, signs with the Stars for, you know, nickels on the dollar because he realized he was going to have a chance to play on the middle six with a bunch of good players, get a bunch of power play time, and set himself up to get another, you know, longer-term contract. Now that he's in his 30s. Really, really similar situation with Skinner. You know, he's made a ton of money over the course of his career, and he's still a legit second-line dude who can contribute on a power play, and that's the exact sort of thing that Pittsburgh's looking for. So, yeah, he's going to get bought out, I would imagine, at some point over the next couple of days, and I think once that happens, you know, the call should be made.
Can we get someone who's under the age of 30, though?
I mean, yes and no. I kind of like them leaning into the nursing home element of stuff here.
Yes.
That's
really
just
worked for them. That's been
Heaven's waiting room, challenging for a Stanley Cup.
I think they should go out and get some dude who's 27 and has scored 45 goals in this past season. Good luck. Good luck finding those guys. They're not available. And they don't have tradable assets, really. That's their biggest problem, is the best players on that team are not tradable and all the other ones make too much money. There's all these no movement clauses on guys like Raquel and Riley Smith who are coming off terrible seasons. If you want to improve via trade, you got to have something to trade. And I don't think they do. So
they're not going to be able to move Smith, in your opinion, then? They're going to be maybe motivated to try, but it's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah, but that wouldn't give you what he's talking about.
You're not
getting that type of player for Riley Smith.
No, I know.
The goal in moving Riley Smith is to get out from under his contract.
Right, that's exactly. Yeah, that's
not
what
to,
I mean.
Not to return any kind of talent. Of course, we'd all they would be much better off. Like I said, if they had a bunch of, you know, guys who are 27 or 28 and all-star caliber players, but those guys aren't available, and they're not available via trade, and they're generally not available, you know, on the free market here. So.
All right. So give me, Sean, the most likely player to get traded off this roster between now and July 1st, and give me the most likely guy you think they are to sign between now and July 1st, or July 2nd, I guess.
I think the likely trade is Jarry. We've seen too much smoke over the last over the last few days, or the last week, really, like I said, going back to the Nedeljkovic signing to not take that seriously. And I just don't think there's guys out there that – I don't think there are teams out there that are interested in adding Riley Smith for anything of value, right? So Jari seems like he's on the block. We wouldn't be hearing this if they weren't motivated to move him in one way or another. And then on the wing, I don't know. They've always been here. How about this? If they move out Jari and they clear salary there, Jake DeBrusk is a player who they've been linked to in a lot of different ways over the last few years. He's a winger for the Boston Bruins, pretty inconsistent, but he's as close as you're gonna. Yep, he's as close as you're gonna find to the dude to the kind of guys you're talking about here, right? Where you want a young guy who's got some bona fides. Like, he's had good seasons on his resume. He's got some pretty mediocre ones too, but he's been pretty solid the last year and a half, give or take. And he's about to hit free agency. So I think it's possible that they would maybe take a look at a guy like him if they find a way to clear Jari's salary off the books. I think he'd make a lot of sense.
Last one for you, at least from me, Sean. You mentioned Skinner and the idea that he would sign for nickels on the dollar because he liked the situation, in a given place anywhere. How attractive of a destination for a guy like Jeff Skinner is Pittsburgh? And in general, how attractive of a destination for free agents around the league do you think this team is at this juncture in their lifespan?
It's a great question. I think a team like Florida, probably, if you're Jeff Skinner, looks a lot better, right? They're coming off a Stanley Cup. They also need to add some guys on that middle six, you know, on some team-friendly deals. And they're clearly two, three, four tiers above the Penguins at this point. So, yeah, for guys like that, of course, there'll be a significant amount of competition, and I think the Penguins are far enough down the line for it to be difficult. Yeah, absolutely.
Sean, thank you so much. We appreciate it. You might be going out with Mulsey at 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Do you think you're going to adjust to Vegas time, or can I just randomly cold call you when I'm on and it's 4-5 a.m. there and the sun's just coming up?
What time is it right now there? Is it 2:53?
Yeah, so you're at, what, 11:52 right now?
You can call me whenever you want, and we'll just see what happens. How about that?
Oh, I'm going to have producer Harry Callis go, hello! It's going to be better than a wake-up call. Yes, hello, Sean! See you, Sean.
Yeah, and he's going to hear slot machines going in the background. Goodbye,
boy. Oh, that would be great.
Did you hear Callis lay down the gauntlet today?
What did he say? Wait, did you go on with those guys? Did I see that correctly?
It's eating. It's eating hot dog. Yes. And I'm large, and I'm in charge.
There it is. Nothing more needs to be said.
It's eating. It's eating hot dog. Yes. And I'm large, and I'm in charge.
He's gonna have...
That's like the campaign...
I'm large, and I'm in charge. Yeah, like Callis 24.
Yes. Make America great again. What was Obama's...
Hope.
Yes. Callis.
I'm large, and I'm
large
in charge.
And in charge.
You think William Howard Taft should run on that? I'm large, and I'm in charge.
There's also the rumor of a side bet being made between Callis and intern Dom. For this thing, there is the $500
prize, but they're making a side wager.
But then Callis and intern Dom putting up $100 each of their own money, and who will among just the two of them eat more hot dogs?
Just give Callis the other $100. The only thing I worry about with Callis is, does he get overconfident? I ran the half marathon. I thought I'm starting out at a brisk pace, well under 8 minutes, like under 7.5 minutes. I'm cruising, and then I hit the wall. What if Callis 5 minutes in, five hot dogs down, and he just slams into the wall?
Yeah, we're finally getting some backing from the radio station on this as well.
No, it only took about 3 weeks.
Have you heard the promos that they started running on it?
I haven't.
On Wednesday, July 3rd, a new tradition is born. It's the first annual fan producer hot dog eating contest. These men have trained tirelessly for the glory that comes with this elusive prize. Green jackets, Lombardi trophies, Stanley Cups, all pale in comparison to what these pillars of nutrition and physical fitness are vying for. The prestige that comes with being the best hot dog eater at 93.7 The Fan among the producer's staff. 10 minutes, 100 hot dogs, Harry Callis, Little Austin, Donnie Football, Intern Dom, Sean Randy Myers, Heber, Seth Lundy, and more. We crown a champion July 3rd. History will be made right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
I'm sorry. I hear Little Dom in there. Or no, that
No, I'm sorry. Little Austin.
Yeah, he's not going to like that
little
very
Austin.
Much.
Little Austin. I'm sorry. I got that. I laughed just as hard for that as I did for intern Dom. And then no one calls him Seth. It's Seth Myers, not Randy Myers, the old Cubs closer.
Yeah. Sean Randy Myers. Austin's going to petition that to get changed to city limits. He hates the Little Austin moniker. Maybe that'll motivate him to eat more hot dogs.
He'll be bigger, Austin.
Yep. Now, again, the question of is Sonny Gray eligible because he is on our payroll. He's an intern. Do the interns enter as amateurs like Shipley at the Masters and US Open?
But he can't have the $500.
Right.
He says he's on vacation next week.
There you go.
That takes care of that. Maybe it's a dodge because he just knows he wouldn't be able to stack up to a guy like Large and in charge, Harry Callis.
How about that?
I'll say he threw down a gauntlet. What if I, you know what I could do?